Welcome to Reading the Grid, the podcast fueling your Formula One passion. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. Now let's jump into it. Today, we have an absolutely stacked episode. We're breaking down all the action, or lack thereof, from the Japanese Grand Prix, from race strategy to standout performances, and of course, a few paddock storylines following Suzuka. Plus, we're looking ahead to Bahrain, our predictions, the storylines to watch, and who we think will come out on top in the desert under the light. And if that wasn't exciting enough, we have a very special guest joining us, chef, cookbook author, and massive F1 fan, Gabby Dalkin. She's bringing her culinary expertise to the grid with a custom race day menu inspired by the upcoming Bahrain Grand Prix. Whether you're hosting a watch party or just want to eat like a champion, you won't want to miss this. Fast cars, bold predictions, and a menu that's straight up podium worthy. It's all coming up on this episode of Reading the Grid.
Before we jump into our race review, let's get to know our special guest. Gabby is a mom, a two-time New York Times bestselling author and chef. She's the founder of Dalkin & Co., your go-to pantry resource and fantastic spices. She recently opened a curated food hall and marketplace in Westlake Village, California, called Neighborly. Gabby, thank you so much for joining us today. We are really excited to hear your thoughts on Formula One and learn more about your fandom journey.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I will talk about F1 to anyone who will listen. But this is a real thrill because none of my friends watch or care.
Well, I'm glad that we found you because this is all we talk about. And if you ever see our text thread, it's all day, every day.
Do you ever go on the F1 Reddit thread?
Oh, I live in it.
Yeah, yes. It's so fascinating. They get the inside scoop there so much earlier than we do. It's wild.
Yes. And I have to say, they're one of the reasons why we started the podcast, because they keep talking down to Drive to Survive fans. Uh-huh. And we wanted to do something to show that no, there's a place for everyone.
Listen, I take offense to that, too. Like, that's rude. I don't care how you got involved in F1. You're here now. Well, open arms.
Agree.
That's how we feel about it. What got you into Formula One?
Drive to Survive. I'm not a sports girl. I grew up playing D1 college tennis. I played my whole life. I played through school. I was an athlete, but I'm not a sports viewer. I talk a lot on my social media, on my Instagram stories about what I'm watching on TV. And I kept getting a random message here and there being like, girl, you should really watch Drive to Survive. And I'm like, this is dumb. I'm so busy watching all my other shows. And I don't remember what happened. Maybe it was like right after I had my daughter or something. I just wasn't working that much. I was on mat leave and I started watching it. Obviously, I fell in love with Daniel Ricciardo and his smile. I binged all of it. I think there were four seasons out at the time. I binged it all and I was obsessed. I couldn't get enough. I started following the wives, the girlfriends, literally everyone you could possibly stalk online. I stalked them and it became my personality. And my husband, who has never, ever, ever heard me talk about ESPN or sports, was like, what happened to you? And I was like, I don't even recognize myself anymore. And I've been hooked ever since. I just think it's such an incredibly interesting sport. It's political. There's a little like fraternity-ish to it. Like everything about it is just very interesting to me.
So you mentioned Ricardo. Is there a driver on the current grid that you gravitate towards?
Well, yes, I love a handful of drivers. Lewis Hamilton is it for me. I love him. I think he's an incredible human. I think his dad's an incredible human. He has an amazing upbringing from what I've surmised myself. If I could go out with any of them, Carlos, obviously. He is such a beautiful human being and his accent's amazing. And I actually was so sad when he was leaving Ferrari and going to Williams, but I love what he's done as far as shifting his look to be a little bit more in line with Williams and a little bit more polished and posh than it was at Ferrari. I love Lando. I think he's so incredibly talented and I just like that he's young and kind of silly. Those are my top three. I'm a Toto Wolff fan, as in I think the businesses he's run are incredible and I'm really into his wife, Susie. And I'm a Max hater. He's incredibly talented.
Max is incredibly talented. I started following F1 because It was very similar. My husband worked for DHL, and so they ship all of the logistics around. And so he's been to a couple of races, and he would tell me, "Aaron, I really think you would like F1." I'm like, "No, I don't think so." I had my oldest in May of 20, and so I was held captive to the TV by COVID. He was watching Drive to Survive, and he's like, "I think you'll like it." I'm like, "No, good." He was in season three. It was the Grosjean episode, the one where he caught on fire. That was the first one I watched. And I'm like, well, of course, this, like, how am I not going to start watching this? And so 21 was the season I watched live, and that was the battle between Hamilton and Max.
You still don't hold grudge against Max,
I
just Michael
don't. I think he's
Massey.
a Michael Massey. I don't like Michael Massey.
Who's
But
Michael Massey?
he was the race director at the time in 21 that made the really controversial safety car
Call.
call where Max ended up winning. But Max is a phenomenal driver. I do
Max,
think he gets played the villain, but
I
he's a good
was,
driver.
he got a bad at it. Like, you know, when you're watching The Bachelor and they make one person out to be the awful human being, that's unfortunately the edit Max got. Have you guys watched a documentary or maybe it's a docuseries? I've only ever seen it on a Delta long haul flight somewhere, and it's a three-part series of Lewis and Max.
No.
No. Find it. I have no idea what it's
Okay.
called. It totally shifted my perspective on Max. And I'm like, oh, he's just like an incredibly talented driver. He doesn't have time for this dumb editing that, you know, like is kind of soap opera Bravo-esque. And he's just like there for a, you know, he's there to win, period.
He is. He's Dutch. I also think that comes down to his personality type, too.
Yeah, he's very straightforward. He doesn't hold any punches, but everyone has such good things to say about him behind the scenes. Like a
And
lot of
Kelly's a delight. Like, she's not dating someone who's a total, you know, jerk.
Well,
Or
then I
sociopath.
have to ask you, Gabby, how do you feel about some of the Reddit stories about Kelly?
I haven't seen the Reddit stories about Kelly. Tell
Oh,
me.
some of them are very mean and
Like,
very,
she's
like,
not a
leads
nice
to.
person.
Well, it's more about rehashing how they got together, exactly when that happened,
Oh,
and whether it
you
was a very
know.
intentional on her part to get together with the best driver.
Oh, I mean, doesn't she come from the racing background? Like,
She
she's
does.
the world. Listen, I think, you know, whatever happens, happens. As long as she's happy, she seems to be very in love. They both do. Her daughter seems amazing, which makes me believe that she's an incredible mom. I don't hate on any of that. We have mutual friends. I know people who are actually friends with her, and they're all really good people. So, like, they're not going to be around her if she's not. You know what I mean?
When I first read all of this, it's like this rumor mill is insane.
She is really sweet with her daughter, and Max is trying to be more relatable. I don't know if you guys saw his clip about Lando being the lawnmower on social media. I don't know if they showed it on Sky Sports, but I watched it on F1 TV. The only incident that happened was when they're coming out of the pit lane. Lando was on the right and he went over the grass, and everyone was making fun of him like he was in a lawnmower. And Max was like, yeah, that part of the grass hadn't caught on fire. It was a little long. He just needed to give it a trim. So, like, there goes Lando.
He's
As
funny.
yeah, in Sky Sports, they cut away from that to show Leclerc's pit stop. And Leclerc is my favorite driver, but even I was like, no, I need to know what happened because all I hear is Lando complaining that he was pushed, but we didn't get to see
He wasn't
that.
pushed. I think he tried to bring on a foul that wasn't really his, but.
Yes, and then of course Max noted the illegal thing that Lando did. So I was like, oh great, this is like we're in middle school. Everyone is telltaling on each other.
Can you tell us a little bit about Monza? And especially your hot lap, because
Oh
we
my
are
God.
dying to hear about the actual F1 itself experience too.
Was the highlight of my life, if I'm being honest with you guys, and that includes my wedding. I watch, you know, 4 or 5 seasons of Drive to Survive. It becomes my entire personality on social media. It's all I talk about. I talk about it on Insta Live, F1 this, F1 that. And probably 4 or 5 months after I start being this obsessed person, I woke up one morning early, like at 5. And I had an email in my inbox. This is after I had my first child, Poppy. And I get an email that morning from Aston Martin. And it's like, hey, we know you're a fan. We're taking a couple people to Monza this year. Would you like to come with us? I didn't even wake up Thomas to tell him. I just wrote him back automatically. And I was like, can I bring my husband? And they wrote me back right away. And they're like, absolutely not. And I said, great, I'm in. Like, I don't care. I don't care about the logistics. Whatever you want to do, I am in. And they took me to the race in Monza. It was not 2024, it was in 2023. And it was truly the most special experience. They flew everyone there. We stayed at the Mandarin Oriental on Lake Como. It was 5 stars top to bottom. We got paddock passes. We got to go in the pit. I got to do a pit walk. I hung out with the engineers and everyone prior to the race. We got to watch some of the race from the pit, from the garage. It was exceptional. We met the team principal. We met a bunch of the higher ups that work on Aston all the time on the F1 side. And Aston Martin sent me, which is not the F1 side, it's just like the car side. And that's who we were with the whole time. But we met everyone that was really important in the F1 portion of Aston Martin. It was next level insane. And it was the race in Monza with a wild start. They had to do 2 or 3 starts or something. It was just a great day. And then at the end of all this, it's like 100 billion stars every which way. And then when you leave an F1 race, it is an onslaught of human beings leaving. It's disgusting how many people trying to get out of this area at once. And they didn't tell us this, but we're walking out and they scooch us over to the side and a helicopter just whisks us away out of the area back to Milan. It was the best day of my life. I'm not even exaggerating. It was so epic. I'll never be able to go to another race because nothing will ever be this incredible ever again.
That is
And
amazing.
it was amazing. And there were no obligations. Like there was no money exchange, but because of that, I was so inspired to be there. I made the most incredible content I've made in years. It was so fun and creative to me. And I posted like 75 Insta stories. I got so much content out of it for them. It was really a really fun experience.
Did you get to meet Papa Stroll?
He wasn't there.
Oh.
Yeah, no, he wasn't there that race for some reason. I don't know. What would I talk to him about? Like, he's not.
Well,
That's
listen,
true.
he's a billionaire. There's always something to pitch. Did you meet the drivers?
We met Fernando in passing. I didn't get to see Lance.
How about the hot lap? Did you freak
The hot
out?
lap was insane. Yeah, I was nervous because I'm a mom. That's something I would have done before becoming a mom. But they strap you into this car. They put me in an Aston. I want to say it was the Vanquish. You put on a helmet. They strap you in. There's a GoPro in there. And then you go like 180 miles an hour around the track with the driver. I went with a former driver, but he now works with Aston. It was terrifying. It was so much fun and terrifying. I honestly blacked out for most of it. It was crazy.
Wow.
I've never gone that fast in my life, but it was a very special experience and I would totally do it again now that I know what I'm getting myself into with a hot lap.
Who would you want to drive you? Would you want Lewis, Daniel, Ricardo, or any of your top drivers to do it?
I don't want Lando to drive me. I don't trust Lando as much as I trust someone else. I know what Lando does in his free time and he's crazy. I would want Lewis or Carlos to drive me. Lewis is such a gentleman and he would be very calm and we'd have a conversation about vegan food or something while he's driving.
It's so funny because you said about Lando, because even though Leclerc is my favorite driver, I would not want to be in a hot lap because with his luck, something was going to happen and it's just not worth
He just takes too many risks for me. I need
it.
someone a little bit more calm.
My top choice for a hot lap would be Lewis, and then my backups are Max and Oscar.
Yeah, Oscar would really take care of you. That would be nice. Max would be funny because he just doesn't give a shit. Like, that would be great.
But
Yeah.
he's also very consistent, so he will not
Yeah,
make
no, you're
mistakes.
safe. You're in a good place.
If you could have dinner with any F1 driver, past or present, who would it be and what would you cook for them?
Daniel Ricciardo, no question, we'd grill. I mean, he's from Australia. He's used to being on the barbecue, so he could come over. I'll grill. He can sit there and have a glass of his wine. I'd probably do some sort of very summer-inspired menu because I feel like my cooking style is very California, which leans very heavily in the same types of vibes in Australia. So I would do probably grilled steaks, a giant tomato salad with mozzarella or burrata, some sort of yummy green. It would just depend on what time of year it is, but we would be outside in my backyard with wine and the grill.
I don't know how he hasn't contacted you already because he
I
loves
don't know either.
California and this
Well,
sounds phenomenal.
listen, if he's listening, feel free to call me. I'm wildly available for a dinner party.
So you said none of your friends are F1 fans. Have you been able to recruit anyone in the food world to become an F1 fan? Any prospects?
I mean, listen, lots of What's Gobby Cooking people have become F1 fans because I wouldn't shut up about it for years. Still don't. But in my immediate friend group, no, not one person is a fan.
No
I know.
chance. That's
No, not a single
wild.
person. I'm talking about the people I talk to every single day.
Yeah.
I have like a handful of peripheral friends who I talk to on like when big things happen, but no. One of my girlfriends, Alex, her and I don't see each other that often. But yeah, I guess she's a close friend who I do have, but she liked it before I did.
I was so excited when you started talking about F1. I have been following your recipes and your site since when you had Tomatillo
Oh my God, that was eons ago.
salsa at William Sonoma. It was.
Finally, the stars aligned.
Well,
Oh,
that's how I felt
God.
about Ina because we worked together and we would always meet on Fridays at 3 and we would talk tennis because we would talk non-work stuff and it would always be about tennis.
Yeah.
And then I started following F1. And I'm like, I've dropped the ball on tennis. I need you to pick it up on F1.
Yeah, actually, I think you were asking me what happening with tennis. I was like, I don't know. I'm all about F1.
It's a good world to be a part of.
It is. Since we're both Lewis Hamilton fans, can we talk about how horrendous?
The Ferrari merges. It's so bad.
Yes. It's so
It's
bad.
so bad. It's problematic. He's new. He hasn't had a chance to get his hands in there and be like, we need to redo this. But I do think by the end of the year, it will be better because he's too fashionable for it to not. We need better things. I also need a black Ferrari hat. Like, I need things that are not red.
Red is a very difficult color. Well, that's what
It
Carlos had even said. Carlos looks good in blue. So we talked
is.
about his whole aesthetic moving to Williams.
He really does. He
He
is a
nailed
cool,
it.
he looks great in cooler colors.
I think he looks great in all colors, but I agree. The blue is just perfection. Like, remember the Dinoco colors they had in Miami last year? But he still looked good. Like,
Was
he
that the white
managed.
and like the baby blue? Baby blue is a tough color.
I have a friend who attended 2024 Monza, not in the five-star experience. It was much more regular experience. And they bought all the Mercedes merch. And he must have had some hand in designing it because it was so well designed, very well fitted. It looked amazing. I know they hired a stylist once Lewis left because that was the big gap in the Mercedes.
Toto's quite polished, you know. And why am I blanking on Ferraris?
Fred Brasser.
Fred's not polished. Fred's awesome. I would love to have dinner with Fred and have a drink with him and like maybe go jump in the ocean and swim together. But like Fred's not tailoring any suits. Like Toto cares deeply how his merch looks as well.
Absolutely. I believe, Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong, is it Puma that Lewis partnered with that their stock already went up like eight?
Lululemon.
Lululemon. Sorry. It
Yeah.
was Leclerc and Puma. So, yes, Lewis and Lululemon, and their stock went insane. So, any input he puts in is just going to result in more money.
Listen, he's a style icon.
I like Lewis's story. I'm reading his story that he wrote about him, his dad and his upbringing, and his mom letting him go live with his dad. But it's a really inspiring story. And I want to read his new autobiography that he's out because I want to say he wrote this around the time he was 21. So it's a little dated.
Yeah, because how old is he now?
He's close to
40.
my age.
Does he
I'm
have
older.
a girlfriend? I know he's not very public about his love life, but does he have a partner?
It's a lot of transient relationships.
Okay, some under wraps.
I don't think
Very
since Nicole
curious.
Scherzinger he's had anybody because I think he said he can't date and race at the same time. Like, focus
Yeah.
has got to be on one or the other.
Fair.
Let's do our little Grand Prix review. How about
Okay.
that? Overall, the race itself was pretty uneventful. We had more action in the practice sessions due to red flags and fires, literal fires, with the grass going up in flames because it was so dry, bringing the only sizzle to Suzuka. Teams were unable to fine-tune setups because of the limited lap, although I'm not sure it would have mattered. I think the only overtake we saw with DRS was Hamilton overtaking Hadjar. But regardless of how lackluster it was to watch, let's talk about who stole our hearts in the race.
Max had the best performance, and Oscar and Lando. I feel like those three are just living their best lives at the top, but that's boring. I wanted Yuki to do better, but that car seems like it's incredibly complicated to drive. I'm really hopeful they give him like a solid month or two. He needs this triple header as a grace period to get comfortable. Who else did great? I mean, it was just so boring.
I was going to say, great is a strong bar. It's
It's
like,
just
really
so
good is
boring.
fine.
It was so like there was literally nothing exciting that happened, but it's cool to see some of the rookies getting out there and getting more comfortable. I wish Carlos had done better, but he seems like he's happy right now, which is great. Like, that's all we can ask for. And I feel like he's making a lot of strides in the team and they're working on so much behind the scenes. They're doing better than they've done in the past. So I don't know. That's kind of my thoughts on the weekend.
For me, it was definitely the rookies because, as Gabby pointed out, picking the top three is just too easy. But of the rookies, even though I wanted to go with Ollie Bearman, who I've always liked, and I think he did fantastic, I'm going to pick Antonelli because I love an arc. Q1 was horrendous. And I thought, oh my God, I don't think he's going to get into Q3. And he kept getting better and better. He had an amazing stint for, I think, 33 laps on medium tires and led the race and became the youngest driver to lead the race, which I was very excited about. So he showed so much poise and promise and determination.
The top three were very boring, although I did hear that they themselves found the race exciting because they were to the limit the entire time. So it was fun for them, even though it was not necessarily fun for us.
I just want to bring to attention when we last covered Monaco 2024, which this race is compared to a lot, Max said that the race was so boring, he needed a pillow. And I surmised this is because he was in sixth place. So if he was leading the race, he would feel different. So I felt very vindicated when he kept saying how fun the race was.
I'm glad it was fun for him, but it was not fun for anybody else. That was about it. The only overtake that I saw was Hamilton overtaking Hadjar in the DRS zone. And I'm glad he moved up. Although I hate seeing him in seventh. I hate seeing him out of the top four or five. My favorite rookie so far has been Isaac Hadjar. He had such a tough start, and then he's really redeemed himself. We could talk about McLaren's strategy or lack thereof. If we were race directors and leading the strategy, would we have done anything different with Lando and Oscar, at least tried to maybe switch them? Different tires, different pit stop times, because none of it made sense.
With McLaren, I honestly don't think they were passing Max. Like, he was so in tune. If they pitted Lando at a different time, could that have made the difference? I doubt it, but maybe. Actually, in terms of another thing that happened, in the Ferrari practice too, Jack Doohan had one of the most horrific accidents that I've seen. Mm. It was such a horrific accident, 50 Gs. And the fact that he was medically cleared was a little suspect. And then at the end of the race, he could not get out of his car on his own volition. He needed a team member from Alpine and also Ocon to help him out. And by the way, Ocon was just a mensch throughout this entire race. He let Bearman through when asked without complaint. And then he helped Jack Doohan out of the car and then held him as they walked to be weighed.
Do you think that's because he got a bad edit last season and he's still a little PR?
Well, he also knows Doohan is not long for this world.
You don't think so?
Calapinto was already seen testing Alpine and Monza.
The rumor is that he has a contract only for 5 to 6 races, and Bahrain may be his last race.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure in the European leg, it's going to be Calapinto in the car.
Yeah, I think he'll be done. I think the accident did him no favors.
Alpine's struggling, guys.
They are.
Is really interesting to me because they have such great investors backing them, and like they're just not putting it together.
Well, it's so funny because during Brazil last year, to get on the podium, both of them, was amazing. And then Gasly kept showing form until the end of the year. So there was some promise. I don't know where it went. Doohan has always been a stopgap mm-hmm. as opposed to a real, true replacement, even though he's the Alpine Academy driver. So you would think they would want to nurture him and keep him around. It's very obvious that Flavio Briatore, speaking of villain edits, really wants him out, even though he's his manager. I've never seen a manager work that hard against his own client.
Yeah, he needs a new manager.
Well, Alpine wow. also has 4 reserve drivers. They have a pretty deep bench.
They see what's happening in Red Bull and like, we're just in case we need someone.
Red Bull's a mess.
It really is. It's so weird.
I was so sorry to see Yuki not do better. I was very happy that he was ahead of Liam.
Yeah, so, I'm not a Liam girl.
He's
I
so
think
arrogant.
Very few people are.
He came very in way arrogant. Too arrogant. You can't do that.
No, you really can't. And he did. And it was
no
not a good look.
No, no humility.
If he had the Daniel Ricciardo personality, maybe he could get away with it.
Right.
Maybe.
He does not have the Danny Ricks. Nothing
about him.
He also
doesn't have the smile. Like, he doesn't have the, like, you know, the
There's
zest.
No charisma.
Like, no.
There's no nothing warm.
No, no humility.
Yuki did break my heart. So on our last episode, we threw out some pretty bold predictions, which we'll do in a minute for Bahrain. But I said that Yuki would be number 2 on the podium if he got the Red Bull seat.
That would have been incredible.
Right?
And yeah, and I questioned her sanity because I said that means he outqualifies Max. And she's like, I'm standing by it.
I was hopeful Yuki would get it together. And he seemed pretty promising in practice. And then I don't know what happened, but he still placed that car higher than Lawson ever did.
Why do we think that car is so hard to drive?
I think a few things. One of the reasons is since Paris has been in this car, I don't think they've ever taken his feedback into account. So the only person they ever heard from was Max. So I'm not saying they tailored it so only Max could drive it, but that's the only feedback that they've listened to.
Albon did a really interesting interview. He said, if you increase the sensitivity on your computer and you put it all the way up and you like barely touch your mouse, it's
That's what the car
all
is.
over the place. He said, that's how the car is. And then you get so tense trying to focus on it.
Why does Max like that?
I don't know, but he is so talented. I mean, I think they could give him a trash truck and he'd put it in first place at times.
Do you think Yuki's going to make it at Red Bull?
I don't think he's going to make it all year. I
I
don't
don't. Who are
either.
they
I
going to
don't
put
either.
in?
Don't know.
Ajar?
Maybe he's had the most success out of the other drivers
Okay, there hasn't
behind
it
Max.
hasn't been that many races, so.
I would love for Yuki to do it. The big push for him actually getting in was the extra 20 million in total from Honda.
But
That's
do you
my
think they
guess.
would just give that money without guarantee that he's in it for the whole year?
I don't know what their contract stipulations are.
Honda would be foolish not to get some kind of guarantee before giving up the money.
I mean, they could switch him back to Racing Bulls and put Isaac in the seat.
The
It'll be a
revolving door.
wild year.
Yeah, then when Colapinto comes in, that could be interesting for Alpine.
Well, so assume Max misses at least one race because I think he's almost got enough points on his license where he's going to be banned from a race and he's going to try to time it around paternity leave.
What is he waiting for? He has 8. He has 4 to go. So I don't know. They're not giving them out that quickly. So I'm ready
You
for him
don't
to
think
get some.
Horner would just let him take the weekend off?
Oh, he probably would, because I think at this point he'll do anything just to keep him
Yeah, they
happy.
have to keep Max happy. I don't feel like I mean, maybe he's trying to get kicked out for a weekend, but like, I feel like he's got enough pull with Christian to just be like, I won't be here this weekend. Figure it out.
I think if he was further ahead in the Drivers' Championship, he definitely would. But they're only a point apart, which I think McLaren's going to have to do something because last year they should have secured constructors before they did. They're playing it very safe, and they're going to have to decide sooner than later which driver they're really focusing on winning the Drivers' Championship. And I think they're going to go with Lando.
Everyone's comparing this to McLaren 2007, which is when Lewis was a rookie and he and Fernando were going at each other and Kimi Raikkonen won by 1 point.
Last week, these were our crazy predictions. Max and Sebastian Vettel are following their careers very closely together. So Vettel won 4 drivers' championships in a row. Fifth had a bad car at Red Bull, went to a top team. Max is in the same boat. I don't think that Max is going to be at Red Bull next year. I think Max is going to be at Mercedes or Aston, but I honestly think he'd go to Mercedes first.
Goes to Aston, that would okay. Here's my question: what's happening with Lance Stroll?
They've
Out.
got to get him out of the gravel and get him into
Well,
tennis.
no,
He
yeah,
can
like he
take
gotta be
a.
out of the sport.
He,
He's
maybe Fernando is the one who's going to be kicked out. I mean, I know we don't want it, but.
but how do you fire your son?
Well, I think he wants to be fired. I feel bad for him because he's not enjoying this. I mean, granted, this race, maybe he lost his concentration because he was pretty decent in the last couple. It's obvious for the past couple of years, he's just miserable, and I can't understand why his father doesn't see it and just give him some grace.
He bought the team so they could be champions together. Nui has come out saying that Lance should lose his seat. And statistically, if it was any other driver other than the owner's son,
He'd be
then
gone a
he'd be
long time ago.
gone. Maybe they bump him down to reserve driver. That way he's still on the team. And if they win the constructors, he's still a champion.
Fernando and Max are not driving together.
Well, they
Oh,
do love each
no.
other. And Fernando did have amazing things to say about Max at this race.
Really? You think that would
Yes.
work?
No. Although they have talked about doing 24 hours of Le Mans, but I cannot see them as teammates. I think the only reason it works with Lance is because Fernando knows that Lance is not even near his level.
And see,
Or
that's why I think Max goes to Mercedes because Russell's out of contract.
how do
Max
you
and
beat
Kimi,
$1 billion?
that's a rumored number.
I
A billion
believe
dollars for
it.
what? That's what he wants? No,
Apparently, that's what
supposedly.
Papa Stroll offers him. $1 billion.
Drive to Survive had Lewis going to Ferrari a year early, and everyone made a big deal of it. Drive to Survive foreshadowing Max with the whole Mercedes talk, I think, a season too early.
I don't think it's foreshadowing. Toto was going after Max.
Yeah, I think he's going to Mercedes.
When their PJs met at the same airport for a hot second.
See, that's what I said. I was like, this is happening.
I think Lewis leaving to go to Ferrari and Max signing with Mercedes would be like a historic full circle moment.
Me too.
That would really cut Lewis deeply.
I think, yes. I don't think that would go over well, but yeah.
I think that would really be a, you know, a problem with him and Toto. I don't know. I mean, listen, we have a lot to look forward to.
Yes. That's the beauty of this.
What do you think's going to happen next year when they bring in Audi and Cadillac?
I think Mercedes is going to have a really good engine.
Next year, 2026.
Yeah, 2026. I think Mercedes is going to have an amazing engine. I think Ferrari will get it together. I think Red Bull's going to be terrible. I think Aston's going to do really well because Newey will have another year. They'll have the Honda engine. I think Audi is going to take not as long as Cadillac to get it together.
Who and do you it's think also the drivers are going to be? Do they know yet?
I think Hulk is signed for Audi.
Yeah, I think
through
Hulk
2026.
Is through, but okay. I don't know what they're going to do about Bortoletto.
I think if he stays where he is, I think they'll probably keep him because that's a good pairing because he is very talented.
Do you think anyone would bring Perez back or Daniel for Cadillac?
For an American team to have Daniel would be amazing.
Huge. You don't think any amount of money could sway him?
Well, I'm sure there is amount of money.
I know the Cadillac people. I'm going to call them. They won't tell me, but I will bug them.
Put in a good word for him. I would love to have him back on the grid. That's actually my husband's favorite driver. He has switched to Carlos Sainz since Daniel's not on the grid anymore.
That's a realistic switch, in my opinion.
I have a almost 5-year-old. His driver is Max Verstappen. My 3.5-year-old is a Lando Norris fan.
Of course.
Everyone in our household is a different driver.
Oh, my God.
By the way, speaking of Carlos Sainz, I think the stewards must have had a crush on him because what did he not get? He got penalty for obstructing Lewis. He got a pit lane speeding penalty. And then he got a penalty for being late to a national anthem, even though he had a doctor's note that there was an issue with his stomach.
I felt bad for him. I thought he couldn't do anything right.
The other thing I heard about this race is that it's because of the tires. The tires didn't degrade as much as they should have, which would have prompted this to be a 2-stop race. So it's actually been blamed on Pirelli, not choosing the right compounds.
You know what's so crazy is like when you're watching the Lakers, you never hear about the ball being like you never talk about anything. There's so much that goes into F1. I don't think people actually think it through. They're like, oh, you're a Drive to Survive fan, whatever. You like the romance of it, the celebrity of it, whatever, the drama. There's actually so many parts of F1 that you have to think about if you want to be well-versed on the sport, whether it's the tires, what's it called? I just had a baby, so I don't have a vocabulary. But like tactics for the race.
The strategy.
Wow, that's an alarming vocabulary word to miss. All these different things that go into one, you know, however many laps, 70-ish lap event. It's
That's
crazy.
What got me hooked because I honestly thought they're just driving in circles. And then I got into it. I'm like, it's strategy. They all happen to be extremely good looking, which if you're that but top tier, is it like a requirement that you have good genes to get into a car as well?
And also a lot of them have incredibly good hair. Like, is that a requirement?
I don't know.
You know what, though? Here's my thing. If you're making that kind of money and you're not really working on your appearance, Lewis leveled up F1 in such a way where nobody used to care about what they walked into the paddock in. Now everybody is dressed head to toe for the most part in designer. He brought so many opportunities to the sport for everyone else. Now whoever's sponsoring George, Ralph Lauren, like all these different people. These were not brand dollars for these people 5-10 years ago.
Oh, now it's huge.
All the credit is to Lewis for that. Like he really. So if you're getting paid from Ralph Lauren, you better have a great hairstylist. You better care about your skincare routine. You're making however many bajillions of dollars a year. Their salaries in F1 aren't even their main income anymore. Like their main income comes from brand dollars.
I'm not surprised. Someone asked Lewis what his skincare routine was.
I believe it.
He's like, a splash cold water on my face.
Well, you know who has a new skincare routine? LeClaire. Apparently, Alex Albon gave him some tip, and now he has a skincare routine. And
Alex
was like,
has impeccable skin.
I was going to say, I was not surprised that it was Albon. I was surprised that LeClaire took it seriously, but you're right. Well, his mother still cuts his hair, so there's that.
I saw that. That was very sweet. But like, he's hot. You got to step it up. That's part of the world we live in now.
I saw Lewis said that his biggest fear joining Ferrari is actually going bald. Because if you look at the other top drivers for Ferrari, they all have gone bald. So apparently Toto quipped very quickly. I'm happy to send you a Mercedes, Brandon Wick, if you do lose your hair at Ferrari.
That's adorable.
He doesn't look like he's balding. He has quite a bit of hair still.
I think he's going to be good to go.
If he was balding, he would stop braiding it. And his braids look amazing.
If we were to pick podiums in Bahrain, who do we think is going to be 1, 2, and 3?
When's Kelly due?
Soonish, probably in a month, I think.
Okay. I think Max is going to get second. I think Oscar is going to get first. I'm going to put Lewis at number 3 because that's wishful thinking, but I don't actually believe myself.
Oh, we are all high on hopium here.
We're the Ferrari hopium train.
Yeah,
don't worry.
I like it.
Yeah. So this is very much
Charles.
Our brand.
Maybe Charles in third. I can see that happening over Lewis right now.
Gabby, we are so aligned because
you
1 and 3.
You think it's going to be Oscar? Who's going to get 2 then in your mind? Not Max?
Not Max. I think it's going to be Lando. I just think McLaren and Bahrain showed in testing they're so far ahead that I just don't think.
You think Max will be 4 or 5?
Well, I'm hoping 5 because my Ferrari prediction is they're 3 and 4. But
you think it's going to be McLaren 1 and 2, Ferrari 3 and 4?
Yes.
I hope you're right. That would be amazing.
Again, this is complete delusion. But I'm putting it out there. We're going to do 3, 4, no disqualification, no losing positions. Just bring it home. 3 and 4. We're slowly moving up.
Gabby and Ina, I love your predictions. However, I am going to manifest a prediction of a Ferrari 1-2 in Bahrain on the podium. I'm going to put Leclerc P1, Hamilton P2, McLaren locking out 3 and 4, and I will say Oscar over Lando. So Leclerc, Hamilton, Oscar on the podium, which will make the constructors battle very interesting. I'm also hoping just in general to see a little bit more excitement within the race during Bahrain. Since we talked a little bit about Bahrain, would you like to give listeners the Gabby Dalkin Bahrain Grand Prix menu? What would you recommend?
It's a night race. My menu is a dinner menu. You start with some sort of shawarma. There's actually a shawarma party on whatsgabbycooking.com. And it is one of my favorite dinner party menus. And I feel like that's where you have to start. And there's olives and all these delicious things. You could do pita. There's also, if we're going to do kind of mezze situation, which would be my preference for a race, so you can kind of nibble and then go back to the TV. We've got your DIY little pita shawarma situation. Then you got to do a spiced lamb meatball with a tahini drizzle. So we've got 2 different kinds of protein. And then we're going to do some light bites that are not meat protein. So I would do a couple different kinds of hummus. A traditional tahini heavy hummus with just garlic and lemon. I would do one that's a little bit more spicy with maybe some sumac or something like that. And then you could do a green goddess one with different fresh herbs. And then just to round it all out and keep it light and bright, I would do a fattoush salad. And I guess you could call it dessert, but I would just do like a beautiful assorted fruit tray.
That would be my menu.
I thought so too. I would like someone to make it for me.
I was just going to say, Where do I sign up? That's fantastic.
People do make Grand Prix recipes all the time. I haven't done it personally yet because they're always at crazy times. I'm not having any viewing parties.
I tried to stay up this time. I think I made it till midnight.
That's impressive.
I'm really glad I didn't stay up for it because this was not worth being dead tired on Sunday with my kids.
No, but this one is so exciting. We get to watch it at 8 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday. What a delight.
I know. That will be good.
To wrap on this episode of Reading the Grid, Suzuka fizzled after sizzling during practice. Bahrain is shaping up to be a thriller, and thanks to Gabby Dalkin, we've got the perfect menu to fuel our race day excitement.
Yes, a huge thank you to Gabby for joining us. Be sure to check out her Bahrain Grand Prix-inspired menu, and let us know if you'll be adding it to your race day spread. And if you're not already following her on social media, find her on Instagram at What's Gabby Cooking. You'll love her incredible recipes, travel tips, and effortlessly cool LA lifestyle. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you never miss an update.
We'd also love to hear from you, whether it's your thoughts on today's episode, your suggestions for F1 books, shows, or movies to explore, or a shout out to your Japanese Grand Prix driver of the day. Connect with us on Instagram, YouTube, or X, or drop us an email at readingthegrid@gmail.com. We want your ideas to fuel this podcast, so don't be shy.
Thanks for joining us on Reading the Grid. Keep your engines running and your pages turning. Until next time.